So again, that Beis Medbeis of Esrog Shava Le'ilon touches on many fundamental issues regarding Seder Zroim. You have to take a look carefully at the Rashi and the lengthy Tosus and Anardaf. But it's a moment to center around, I think, one element, a very, very significant Machlokas Rishonim, and that is very simply, when we speak about the Chiyuv Daraisa of Truma, Meiser, exactly which items, which peros, what is it, midaraisa, which is chayiv and shumas and maestros. So you'll tell me very simply, daf gimel mad aleph, Rashi is absolutely explicit, based on the pasuk that the Torah references, dagon tirosh v'yitzar, which means the chameshus mine dagon, that is chayiv in hafrasha, and the same thing is true when it comes to wine and oil, that's what's mefurish in the pasuk, dagon tirosh v'yitzar. And therefore Rashi writes that it's clear that other peros, trumas peros, that is only a din, drabanan. And even though the Gemara has so many drashos based on psukim, for example, the din of our Gemara regarding the esrog, Rashi writes that's only considered to be an asmachta, because after all, trumas peros is only drabanan. And that indeed is the shita of Tosus as well, and of Gimel Amud Aleph. When you look in the Rambam, in Ochos Maestros and Perek Aleph, the Rambam is clear that is not the case at all. Yerakos, vegetables, it's true, they are chayiv on a level of Darabanan, but Trumas Peros indeed is a din daraisa. Peros is a din daraisa. It's a very fundamental machlokis. The Rashi and Tosus and Ardaf against the Shitas Rambam. There is a third possibility, and it's something that sounds quite stunning, and that is the Shitas Haraivid. The Ravid has a separate chibur, a separate sefer, which is called Kosuv Shom. If you look at the Ravid, the very end of the sefer, his Arosan Perektes of Meseches Chulin, there the Ravid writes a stunning chiddush, because the difficulty, the pasuk references Dagon Tirosh V'Yitzar, but so many drashos that speak about Trumas Peros. Is there any way to reconcile, other than assuming those drashos are only in Asmachta Drabanon? So the Ravid writes the following chiddush. A person who goes ahead and has his kri, his mound, his collection of peros, it does not have the status of tevel daraisa. That is not tevel. Does that mean that if I'm mafrish, it's not truma or it's not maiser? The Ravid writes, no, not necessarily. Who says that midaraisa, the chalos of truma or maiser, is dependent on the iser of tevel? And therefore, one could argue as follows, that when we speak about tevel daraisa, dagon tirosh v'yitzar, but if a person is mafresh from peros, that hafresh is a din daraisa, and midaraisa, it has the status of truma, it has the status of maiser. What we always assume that, what do you mean, the chiyuv hafresha and the chalos of truma and maiser goes hand in hand with this of tevel, is that carved in stone? Is that absolutely mukhach? Or could one argue that really is not true at all? You know, maybe one could argue, Rav Yosef Engel has a lengthy deal based on the Rashi and Yavamos, that maybe that's what Tevel is. Tevel is chulin in truma muravin zebaze. So therefore, I have a chiyuv hafrasha to separate. But is that necessarily true? Is that absolutely muchach? Maybe one could argue that there is a chalos hafrasha even without an iser of Tevel. Even though it sounds so revolutionary, oh, that would, you know, so nicely resolve all these difficulties. Yes, when the Torah speaks about Tevel, I understand, Dagon Tirosh V'Yitzar, but when you have Drashos Daraisa regarding Peros, those are Drashos Daraisa. What exactly is the Zman of the Hafrasha when it comes to Peros? When do we follow the Chanata? When do we follow the Lakita? That's a Din Daraisa that is not considered simply to be an Asmachta Ba'alma. Even though it sounds so revolutionary to assume a chalos hafrasha without a prior iser of tevel, but nonetheless, it is not unheard of. It is not without some type of precedent. And one could reference many, many different sugyas. I would just simply, for our Talmid Yeshiva, just reference what we learned at length last year, the sugyim Sachim Adavtes. There the Gemara tells us the following. Ma'ari madam al tfuloso. A person wants to engage in somewhat of eharama. You know what? He's going to go ahead and harvest his peros, and he is going to see to it that, you know what, that there is no iser tevel. So The Gemara explains that, you know, there is a simple way to do so. Because in order to have the chalos of tevel daraisa, poshum shat, you need meruach, and rias pnei habayis. It means that the farmer goes ahead and he harvests in the field, and he does meruach, he processes, and now uvi'arti hakodesh min habayis. It's not just simply enough to engage in meruach on the sadeh, but you have to have rias pnei habayis. And therefore, if a person will see to it that, you know what, that the tefuah enters the house in a different fashion, without meruach, followed by rias pnei habayis, what happens if machnisa b'motshela? He goes and brings it into the house, but it is still under its outer encasement, its chef, it is not subject to meruach. So in such a case, guess what? That will not be considered to be tevel, which is aser b'achila, midaraisa. So in order to go ahead and have the chalos tevel, simply meruach, rias pnei habayis. Okay, let me ask you the following. When is the earliest point that a person can be mafresh chumas and maestros? I would have said, well, isn't it after meruach and rias pnei habayis? You have meruach, rias pnei habayis. All of a sudden it's tevel. And now I'm going to be mafresh in order to uproot the chalos tevel. You know, the answer is that's absolutely wrong. That certainly is not true. A farmer can be mafresh, even basada. You can't be mafresh when something is mechubar, but if something is talush, even though you're lacking those indicators that now it's considered to be tevel, you didn't have, for example, rias pnei habayis, but nonetheless, a person indeed could be mafresh. You're going to tell me, but what do you mean? It wasn't yet tevel. Tevel is only generated when you have meruach and rias pnei habayis, and yet you can be mafresh at an earlier step. I'll tell you a parallel when it comes to hafreshes challah, that a person goes ahead and takes the flour and combines it with water, nisina samayim, and then he engages with lisha, and now he has a dough. So in such a case, now you can be mafresh challah. And what happens if a person is mafresh before that, before the lisha is done? He's mafresh after nisinas hamayim. You know what? After nisinas hamayim, it is not yet tevel, but nonetheless, the hafreshes challah is chal. That's the Rambam. That you can be mafresh challah before lisha, you can be mafresh truma before rias pnei habayis, even though that this tevel is not yet chal. So I'll tell you the following: it's not so revolutionary to assume that you can be mafresh without a prior chalos tevel. Isn't that true if a person is mafresh basada? Isn't that true when it comes to hafreshes challah if a person is mafresh before lisha? So I understand the Ravid is a major leap, but it's not unprecedented. It's a leap to assume the following. Yes, when you have that where the Torah says is included in the Parsha of Tevel, it is true that I can be mafresh before it becomes Tevel. The great Chiddush, no doubt, of the Ravid sheet is, you know what? I can extend this one step further. Even if you're dealing with Minim, for example, Peros, where it will never be bodily day yeser tevel midaraisa, but nonetheless, you see from these cases of before lisha, before rias pnei habayis, that hafrasha is not dependent on the chaloshem tevel. And if it's true temporally, it's true even when it comes to the min. That's the great chiddush of the Ravid shita. So maybe an achinami that indeed it's true that you see from classic cases of Afrashas Truma and Maaser, not just Peros, that you don't require a prior Iser Tevel in order indeed to be Mafresh. And that's not just a technicality. That means apparently that there are two different types of Afrasha. A person can be Mafresh before Meruach, afterwards. A person can be Mafresh before Lisha or after Lisha. It's not just simply you can do it here or you can do it then. I'll tell you in Lamdus, it's a very different type of Afrasha. When you have meruach and rias pnei habayis, and now you're mafresh, what exactly is the purpose of hafrasha? What does the hafrasha accomplish? You know what the answer is? The hafrasha is mafkia, the iser tevel. There's an iser tevel, which is paka ayadei hafrasha. Let's say a person is mafresh before rias pnei habayis. You're mafresh before lisha. So it's mafkia, the iser tevel? Certainly not. There isn't an iser tevel. That's a very different type of hafrasha. That is a preemptive hafrasha. By being mafresh right now, it prevents this of tevel from ever being chal. So these are two very different types of hafrasha. A preemptive hafrasha, which is monea this of tevel, and a typical hafrasha, which is mafkia the iser of tevel. Tevel. And these are two very different forms of Afrasha, both of which indeed are Chal Midaraisa. When you look at that Rambam, Bikurim Ches Beis, the Rambam writes this when it comes to Afrasha's Chala, you can be Mafrish before Lisha, you can be Mafrish after Lisha, La'achar Nesina Samayim. And the Ravid is Masim. The Ravid writes the following, true, absolutely true. But you know what the Ravid writes? But the inner royal asos came. But it's not appropriate. That's not the ideal way to be Mafrish. The Rambam seems to present Afrasha as like value neutral. You can be Mafrish this way, you can be Mafrish that way. You can be Mafrish before Lisha, you can be Mafrish lach Lisha. The Ravid writes, in a royal asos came. The way appropriate to be Mafrish is after Lisha, after Lisha. Even though it is true that if a person will be Mafrish earlier, yes, the Afrasha indeed is considered to be Chal. But the Ravid writes, the appropriate form of Afrasha is la'ach Lisha, not before. And the Rambam presents this as being value neutral. In other words, that there are two different types of Afrasha. One is to be Monea this Rav Tevel, the other is to be Mafkia this Rav Tevel. And the Rambam presents it as that, you know what, that either one is considered to be absolute legitimate. And the Rambam does not have a Seder Kadima of A versus B. And the Ravid writes, that's not true. That the ideal form of Afrasha is to be Mafkia this Rav Tevel, once this Rav Tevel is Chal, as opposed to being Mafrish in a fashion that it will prevent or be Monea, this Rav Tevel, from ever being Chal. The ideal way of Afrasha is Tevel, and therefore you uproot that Isra of Tevel. But fascinating, the Rambam does not demonstrate the preference, whether the Afrasha is done before or whether Afrasha is done afterwards. And a very simple question, why indeed is that true? Why is it the Ravid has a kapeda, a preference? Why is it that the Rambam feels that no, either A, either B, you know what, that either one is considered to be absolutely legitimate? Here I would take a step back and raise the following question, a question that, you know, the Monei HaMitzvos debate. You're writing a Sefer HaMitzvos, and of course you're going to contain, include in that, Truma and Meiser and Challah, and Bikurim. I'll ask you very, very simply the following. Right? How many mitzvahs? How many mitzvahs? How many mitzvahs is Zor L'chaim V'akeva? How many mitzvahs is Truma? How many mitzvahs is Meiser? How many mitzvahs is Challah? How many mitzvahs is Bikurim? And guess what? Fundamental Machlokas Rishonim. Fundamental Machlokas Rishonim. The Rambam writes the following. You know what? Truma, Kuf Chavav, a single mitzvah. A single mitzvah. Challah, Kuf Lamed Gimel, a single mitzvah, a single mitzvah. There's one mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah, there's one mitzvah of Truma. Truma is considered to be a single mitzvah. Other types of matnas kuna, like Zor L'chaim V'keva, one mitzvah. Bikurim, the Rambam there writes, that's true. There are two separate mitzvahs. We've discussed many different shiurim now, because after all, there's Havas Bikurim, and there's a separate independent mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim. That's true. But in terms of the act of the Hafrasha and the Hava, that's considered to be a single mitzvah. There's a separate mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim. That certainly is true. But in terms of the process of the Bikurim itself, aside from Mikra Bikurim, the fact that you designate and you offer, all that's considered to be one. And there are Rishonim that disagree. Rav Saadia Gaon writes that no, that there are two. Truma has two, Meiser has two, even Bikurim has an additional mitzvah. The designation of the Bikurim and the offering of the Bikurim. Well, maybe there are two separate mitzvahs. There's a Hafrasha and there is a Nesina. The Hafrasha Satruma and the Nesina Satruma. A Mafrish Truma, and then I go ahead and now I have a Chiyuv of Nesina Satruma LaKohen. Why is that considered to be a single mitzvah? And there's even a third Shita, and that's the Ramban. The Ramban. And say for mitzvahs and shurish yud beis, who with Ramban writes that it depends. Sometimes matnas kuna is considered to be a single mitzvah. And sometimes matnas kuna is considered to be two separate mitzvahs. When do I argue that that's true? Why do I say Zerah L'chaim V'keiva? That's one mitzvah. Why do I say when it comes to Bikurim? That's one mitzvah. Why do I say when it comes to Trumas and Maisus that that's two separate mitzvahs? Why indeed should I distinguish that Truma is two? And Bikurim is one, aside from Mikra Bikurim, or other matnas kuna can only be one. Why indeed should I distinguish in any shape or form? So Ramban writes a beautiful biur. You know what? When it comes to certain matnas kahuna, there is no iser tevo. There is no iser tevo. There's a mitzvah bikurim, but you know, there's no comparable iser tevel, when it comes to bikurim. There's certain matnos kuna where, yes, there's a mitzvah to give it to the kohen, but there is no halacha that the kri is nesar until you go ahead and do so. You know what's unusual when it comes, for example, to truma and maaser? That what do you mean there's an iser of tevel? There's an iser of tevel. And the hafrasha is matir the iser of tevel. Oh, so the Ramban writes, you know what you see then? If the hafrasha is matir in iser tevel, you see that there is a primary role to the hafrasha independent of the nesina. And therefore then, the Ramban writes, I would not argue that hafrasha nesina is considered to be a single kiyum. Hafrasha is necessary in order to uproot the iser of tevel. And of course, there's a mitzvah of nesina l'kohen. And the same thing is true when it comes to Meiser as well. Wow. So if it's Matnas Kahuna where you don't have an Isser of Tevel, so therefore that's a single mitzvah. However, if there's a prior Isser of Tevel, there is independence to the Hafrasha aside from simply the Nesina itself. So that's a pretty fundamental machlokes. Whether Hafrasha and Nesina are two separate mitzvahs, or that's not true. So the Ramban writes in Sefer Mitzvahs, two separate mitzvahs. And the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvahs Kuf Chavav has a single mitzvah of Truma. I'll ask you the following. So how do you understand the Rambam Shita, that there's a single mitzvah of Truma? The Ramban, I understand. Mitzvah Safrasha, Matir Isser Tevel, and then there's a mitzvah Nesina. But the Rambam has one mitzvah of Truma. One mitzvah of Truma. How do you understand the Rambam Shita, that there's one mitzvah of Truma? So I will tell you that there are three possibilities, no? How do you understand the Shita Sarambam? Maybe the Rambam could understand, I agree with the Ramban, that there is a mitzvah safrasha, there is a mitzvah nesina, but you know what? They're not independent mitzvahs. They are chelke ha-mitzvah. That itself is a fascinating diyun in the Rambam Shita. When do you count chelke ha-mitzvah independently? And when do you argue, no, that these are simply considered to be chelek mechelke ha-mitzvah? We've discussed that in the past. Not at all simple. You go through the Rambams in the very beginning of Sefer HaMitzvos, very unclear. Each one requires a shir klali. No? Why is it that the Rambam writes that Kriya Shema and Mitzvah Yud is a single mitzvah, even though the mitzvah of doing so v'shoch v'komecha, two chelke ha-mitzvah of a single mitzvah, and the Ramban is not masig there, but the Ramban is masig in the very end of Sefer HaMitzvos. When it comes to Talmud Torah, Mitzvah Yud Aleph, the Rambam writes one mitzvah of Igisiv Yom V'Laila. When it comes to Tfilin, Yud Beis Yud Gimel, the Rambam has two separate mitzvahs of Shorosh and Shayad. Yud Dalet, when it comes to Tzitzis and Tcheles, the Rambam writes one mitzvah, that's Chedek Mechelka Mitzvah. Unclear, right? Why in each of those cases, how does the Rambam determine that this is considered to be an independent mitzvah, and this is considered to be chedek mechelke ha-mitzvah? But perhaps one could argue very simply, the Rambam understood that like kriyashma, chedek mechelke ha-mitzvah, like tzitzis and tcheles, there is hafrasha, there is nesina, both are considered to be vital components of, but they are chelke mechelke ha-mitzvah. An important machlokes, the Rambam, the Ramban, a mitzvah bifnei atzma, or chedek mechelke ha-mitzvah, but they all agree in terms of the substance of. Maybe one could argue that's not true. When the Rambam has a single mitzvah, the Rambam really is only referencing one aspect of. Not that it's a joint composite of Hafrasha and Nesina, but maybe if it's one mitzvah, its focus is on that which is razor sharp, on a single element of. What would that single element be? What would that single element be? Well, I'll tell you the following. Maybe there's a mitzvah safrasha. There's a mitzvah safrasha. And the mitzvah safrasha, yes, is mafkia, the iser of tevel. Well, if there's a mitzvah safrasha, and I declare this as truma, and I declare this as maaser, well, of course, if it's truma, guess what? I have to see to it that I provide that to the kohen. The truma is mamon kohen, mamon hashevet, ah, ktsos, right? Resh Mem Gimel, Mamon HaShevet. So therefore, yes, the mitzvah is to do the hafrasha. And now that I have the truma, well, of course, I have to make it accessible to the kohen. We'll see the sugya pretty soon. No, daf of Medbeis. A kohen hamiseyeya bebeis hagvaros. Now, you know what? I'm going to allow the kohen to take it, but you know what? You kohen, come to the threshing floor and help me out, and I'll let you go ahead and take the truma. Now, the inappropriateness of doing so. Now, I have to supply it to the kohen. But is that really a mitzvah nesina? Or is that just very simply that once you fulfill the mitzvah safrasha, so therefore you have truma, you have maaser, you have to see to it that you supply it to the kohen or the levi. That's the shita in Sefer Mitzvos of the Marganis Satava. There in Shoresh Yudbeis, printed in the Sefer Mitzvos of the Rambam. A mitzvah hafrasha and memela, of course. You have to supply it to the kohen. Maybe one could argue that the opposite is true. There's a mitzvah of nesina. There's a mitzvah of nesina satruma. There's a mitzvah of nesina samaisar. So obviously I have to be mafrish. If I'm not mafrish, I don't have truma. But maybe one could argue a fascinating chiddush that the purpose of the hafrasha is just simply a hechsher nesina. A hechsher nesina. I have the hafrasha in order to fulfill the mitzvah of nesina l'kohen. And maybe that's why the Rambam counts it as a single mitzvah, because it's a mitzvah nesina. And of course the hafrasha is necessary. But maybe that's more similar to a hechsher nesina, the hachanas hachefza, as opposed to actually being chelek mechelke hamitzvah. So three possibilities within the sheet of the Rambam himself. Whether, yes, it's a composition, a composite of, or whether, no, it's a mitzvah safrasha, or whether it's a mitzvah snesina. But the Ramban is mefurish, these are considered to be two separate mitzvahs. Now, there's a fascinating comment of Tosus, Atosus, Amsachim, Daf, Lamed Beis, where Tosus is bothered by the following stira. Amsachim, Lamed Beis is where the Gemara formulates the principle of Ein Nesina, Chusa Mishava Pruta. If the Torah tells me that there's a mitzvah nesina, you know what that means? Nesina means something of substance. Oh, this is something that's very relevant for Kedushin, no? The fact that, Beis Hillel, the shear of Kedushin is a shava pruta. Yeah, the Gemara writes, Psachin of Lamed Beis, a nesina, chusim yishava pruta. If something has so little value, it's not even called an act of nesina. What is the context of the Gemara? You have, for example, a czar who goes ahead and eats truma. He's obligated to go ahead and to replenish the truma. V'nasna kohen es hakodesh, and he has to add a tosefes chomesh. He has to add what we call a quarter, another 25% to that. So therefore, in such a case, there, the pasuk says, v'nasna kodesh, v'nasna kohen es hakodesh. The Gemara says, guess what? Einasina p'chusam yishava pruta. So if we're talking about such a small amount where that would not be, so therefore, that's not called an act of nesina. So Tosus immediately jumps. Really? There's halacha of ein nesina pachas mishava pruta. Is that really true? So Tosus writes, forget about a case of a zar sha'ochel es ha'truma. What about truma itself? What about truma itself? What exactly is the shear of truma? What is the shear of truma? What do you mean? Chulin daf kuflam zayin. The shear of truma? Chita achas poteres esakri. Chita achas poteres esakri, a single grain. You know, you want to be mafresh truma. You're mafresh a single kernel, a single grain. That's a hafrasha. Chita achas poteres esakri. So Tosus raises, such a kasha? What do you mean? How much is chita achas worth? How much is that worth? Chita achas is pachos mishava pruta. When it comes to truma, the Torah tells me titein lo. Nesin is necessary. And the shir is chita achas. And that's Tosus's kasha. How do you resolve that difficulty? Wow. Tosus writes such a beautiful, beautiful teretz that, you know, when you go through Chumash, Nesina has two different meanings. Nesina has two different meanings. Sometimes Nesina means an act of payment. Nesina's tashlumin. Sometimes Nesina does not mean an act of payment at all, but it means an act of giving. When the Torah mentions Nesina, does it mean I pay or I give? I pay or I give? Wow. Is it a mitzvah's nesina, or is it nesina's tashlumin? That's pretty heavy, no? Oh, so Tosa says the following. You have a czar who goes ahead and he eats the trim of the coin. So you know what the Torah tells me? V'nasin l'kohen es hakodesh. You have to compensate the coin for that which you took. That's called nesina's tashlumin. That's payment. That's payment. Nesina's tashlumin. When it comes to nesina's tashlumin, yes. Ein nesina p'chusim yishava peruta. When it comes to truma, I have to give truma to the kohen. Yeah, the Torah says titein lo. I have to pay the kohen. Would I really use a term of payment? Payment? Is that really true? Or I have to give the kohen. Give the kohen. Oh, Satosus writes that stam nesina does not have to be shava pruta. Nesina's tashlumen has to be shava pruta, no? And therefore, if I go ahead and inappropriately eat the truma of the coin, I have to pay him for that which I consumed. Shava pruta. But truma in and of itself, what do you mean? That's chitachas, poteres esakri. Wow, that's a beautiful chiddush of Tosus Ashita. Oh, that difference. I'll tell you that's important for another reason. This is relevant to many of the sugyas. Many of the sugyas in the Kedushin. The Ksos I mentioned. No. Resh Mem Gimel. Resh Mem Gimel. There the Ksos begins with the following. That you know what? I can give matnas tahuna kahuna to a kohen who is a katan. To a kohen who is a katan. How exactly is that possible? No? How is that possible? How is it that I can go ahead and give it to a katan? You'll see the sugya and daf ches. Now, when it comes to pidyon haben, right, what type of kohen is necessary in order to give the matnas kohen or even to give the demei pidyon haben? Okay, a kohen katan. Yes, ooh, the ksos quotes the prichadash. Why exactly is that true? If a katan cannot be kone, a katan cannot be kone. So how can I go ahead and give the matnas kohen to a kohen indeed who is a katan? Who is a katan? Wow, that's an important issue. Now, Tosus quotes a prichadash that writes it's based on the principle of Dasa Cheres Makna. Dasa Cheres Makna. A kohen cannot be konim in a hefker, but katan. But if I give something to a katan, what do you mean? If I have the Das Makna, you don't need independent Das Kona. Right? That's a Tosus and Hedron Daf Samachesim Adays. Das Makna without Das Kona. Ah, that's the kasha, the no Rabbi Yehuda, that hopefully you spend time on. No? Simenon Dalet. That if Rashi writes that the Das Ha'ish in Kedushin is Das Makne? No? So if that really is true, why don't you assume the concept of Das Acheres Makna? And that as long as she is a Gdola, therefore Das Acheres Makna, and that Isha should be Chal, Mikar Hadin Daraisa, even if the Chasin is only a Katan. Wow, that's a very heavy issue. Now, Dasa Cheres Makna, when it comes to Kinyanim, Dasa Cheres Makna, when it comes to Kedushin. Tosa says, when it comes to Kinyanim, yeah, that works. Dasa Cheres Makna, that's the Mechaber, Tafresh Nun Aleph, that be very careful about giving your Dalet Minim to a Katan. Because if you give the Dalet Minim to a Katan, Dasa Cheres Makna, it's his Midaraisa. And if he gives it back to you, it's still his Midaraisa. Now, and therefore, it's no longer going to be lachem. And if you're planning on using these dalet minim tomorrow, and we are machmer, that today is in ritva, that yid lachem, even on yantav sheni, you have a problem, no? Because yantav rishon, you went ahead and gave it to a katan, it's his midaraisa, it remains his, even when he goes ahead and returns it to you. The concept of a das acheres makna, so the prichadash writes, that works when it comes to matnas kuna regarding a kohen. Who is a katan? The Ksos questions, is that really true? If I own something entirely, I understand a das acheres makna. But my taking truma and giving it to a kohen, it's my truma that I give to the kohen. What do you mean? It's mamon hashevet. I have a certain right. You know what that right is called? Tovas hana. I can give it to my son-in-law, to my brother-in-law, to my father-in-law, to my cousin. I have the right to determine which kohen. But can you apply the principle of Das Acheres Makne to Tovas Hana? Well, when something is exclusively mine, I understand. I'm the Makne. When something really is Maman Hashevet, but I have a right of discretion to present it to this coin or that coin, is it so obvious that now I can invoke a principle of a Das Acheres Makne? And those questions, who says indeed that that's true? Who says that that is the case? So maybe Das Acheres Matnah would not work when it comes to Matnas Kuna. How then can you give it to a Kohen who is a Katan? You know, when you look in a Tosus, that very Tosus, and heard of some Echesma days, the Gemara says something pretty straightforward. You have a Katan that has assets. A Katan that has assets. No? Katan walks in the door, and I tell you, ooh, you see that child? He's a multimillionaire. No? You tell me, how in the world did that happen? How did this child become multimillionaire? You know? So I'm going to tell you three possibilities, Tosus says. No? Three possibilities. Number one is that Das Acheres Matnah. No? A gadol gave him these assets. Okay. Number two, Tosa says, Yerusha. His father was a multimillionaire. And if father is Nifter, a katan is Yoresh. Good. Ooh, Tosa has a third possibility. Wow. Schiras Poalim. You know, child comes to the door, you know, and you make arrangements with him. He's going to mow your lawn. He's going to shovel your walk. And you know what, that you're going to pay him this amount, and he does so. And then I turn and say the following, I have no shibud, after all, he's a katan. A katan is love, bardas. So the katan turns to me and says, Tosa Sanhedrin of Samaches. What do you mean? Shibud po'olim. Schiris po'olim. The Torah creates the shibud. If the Torah creates the shibud, that's true when it comes to a katan as well. So you're bound, midaraisa, to pay the katan. And when you pay the katan under the shibud of schiras poalim, that's his min haTorah. Wow. So three ways, Tosus writes, a katan can have assets. Das Acheres Matnah, Yerusha, and schiras poalim. Wow. That's pretty choshev. Now, each one of the Terutzim of Tosus, no doubt, Chidushim. Now, Yerusha the simplest, but Das Acheres Matnah, and the shibud of schiras poalim. Oh, so that's those. Reishon writes the following. How is it that you give matnas kahuna to a kohen who is a katan? One teretz is das acheres makna. That's the prichadash. Das acheres makna. That's such a chiddush, though, because it's really not yours. All you have is the tovasana. You apply the principle das acheres makna tovasana. Okay. Oh, I'll tell you another teretz. That's what the ktsos writes. Schiras polim. Why is it that the Kohen is entitled to these matanos? Why is the Kohen entitled to these matanos? So maybe I would point to Parshas Korach and I say the following, Chelef Avodosam. It's a pasuk in Chumash. Chelef Avodosam. That certain services are provided on behalf of Klal Yisrael. And guess what? The matnos kuna levila is a payment for those services. Ah, so the Ktsos writes, that's good when it comes to a Kohen Katan. Based on Schiras Poalim. Wow. That's a very, very great Chiddush. Matnas Kuna can be given to a Kohen who's a Katan based on Schiras Poalim. Chelef Avodasim. I'll tell you one thing, which I think is a stunning Ha'ara. Take a look. It's clear. Is Chelef Avodasim a Pasuk in Chumash? Yes, more than once. In Parshas Korach. But guess what? That is only found when it comes to Matlos Leviya, and not when it comes to Matnas Kahuna. That, I think, is very profound. No? Why is it that Levi, Chelef Avodasam, Kohen is Chelef Avodasam? Is that really true? Chelef Avodasam? And you look in the Pesukim in Parshas Korach, like jumps, no? It jumps. You know what? Why is it you give Maaser to the Levi? Chelef Avodasam. Why is it that a Levi doesn't have a chelek in Eretz Yisrael? What do you mean? He has Maaser. He's going to subsist off of the Maaser. And what about when it comes to the Kohen? Why is it that the Kohen doesn't have a chelek in Eretz Yisrael? Why is it that the Kohen is given Truma? You know what the Pasuk says? Something very difficult, very different. No? Ani chelku chavanachal ascha. No? You know what the Pasuk says? You know why you don't have a chelek in Eretz Yisrael? Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Ani chelko chavanach alasa. The Rambam paraphrases, you know what the Rambam writes? Hamatanos ha'elu lihem, v'kadosh Baruch Hu ziko lehem. It's like you're giving the matanos to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu is mezakeh to the Kohen. And I'll tell you, you know why it makes such magnificent sense? Because if I were to ask you, what does the Levi do? You know what I would tell you? the primary focus of the Levim is the maintenance, the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi writes in Erechin, you know, you have karbanos. The Azara gets pretty dirty, no? Who do you think cleans the Azara? Kibra Azara. Rashi writes, the Levim. They come on our behalf and make sure that, and what is the role of the Kohen? Shluchi derachmana. Shluchi derachmana. It makes perfect sense that the Torah should frame Matnos Leviya in terms of Chelef Avodasam, but not necessarily Matnos Kuhuna. A Chiddush of the Ktzos, no? To apply Chelef Avodasam in that regard. Interesting. Now you have to take a look at the Rishonim. Are there indications that there's some concept of Chelef Avodasam when it comes to Matnos Kuhuna, when it comes to Matnos Kuhuna? But you know, my suggestion, that no, difference between Kohen and Levi, I would say, I think that's Mefurish, the Tosus that I just mentioned, no? Ain't you seen a Pachos Yishev Pruta? No? How do you resolve that stira? How do you resolve that stira? So what does Tosus say? Nesina can mean one of two things, no? Either it can mean you give or you pay, you give your pay. I go ahead and I eat the trum of the Kohen, Zar Shalchas HaKodesh. Guess what? You have to pay the Kohen, compensate him for that which he does. When it comes to Truma, that's Nesinas Tashlumin. That's Nesinas Tashlumin. I have to pay the Kohen for the avoda that he does. I have to pay him by giving him Truma. I have to pay the Kohen if I inappropriately ate his Truma. I understand that. But my giving the Truma to the Kohen is an act of payment? Certainly not. And Adin Daraisa also says, therefore we don't assume that Ein Nesina Pchusim Yishava Pruta, because this is not called Nesinas Tashlumin. Not called Nesinas Tashlumin, I would argue, because Poshim Shad, it is not Chedef Avodas. It is not Schar Pu'ula, but rather Ani Chelkocha V'Nachalascha. This is considered to be Shluchi Derachmana. And therefore, Tosa says, there's no halacha of Shava Pruta. Okay? Why do I mention all this? A good kasha, but I'll tell you a Tosa's read. Kedushin. Kedushin and Ches. Kedushin and Ches. This is an ode to Yehuda, Yeridayah Siman Reish Aleph. What was Tosus's kasha? How do you resolve? Ein nesina, chusim yishav apruta, but chitachas poteres esakri. How do you resolve that stira? So Tosus, a beautiful teres. Stam nesina, nesina stashlumin. The ode to Yehuda writes, the ode to Yehuda thought that this was his chiddush, right? But it's Mefurish in Tosus Rid, and Kedushin Daf Nun Ches. But wait, there are two different moving parts to Truma. There's Hafrasha Nesina. There's Hafrasha Nesina. The Ramban, two different mitzvos. There's a mitzvah Hafrasha, and there's a mitzvah Nesina. I'll ask you the following. What's the shir? Oh, so I'll tell you exactly. Kedushin Daf Lamed Beis. Ein Nesina Pchusim Yishav Pruta. The shir is Shav Pruta. Shir is Shava Pruta. No, how can you say the Shir is Shava Pruta? Chitachas poteres esakri. It's a Mefurish and Tosus read. No? Wow. Chitachas poteres esakri. The Gemara doesn't say in Chulin Kufla Mezayin that with Chitachas you fulfill the mitzvah of Nesina Satruma. The Gemara says Chitachas poteres esakri. You have a kri, which is Tevel, and you want to be Mafrish. And your mafresh chitachas. Guess what? Afresh of chitachas will uproot the status of tevel. But guess what? You're not going to fulfill the mitzvah nesina because ein nesina b'chus mishav pruta. Wow. The Tosus is mafurish. Nesina requires the nesina chashuva, even though you don't require nesina chashuva to uproot this of tevel. And the Tosus writes the same thing is true if a person is torim min hatame ala tahor. I'm going to be mafresh truma. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take the truma tamei and I'll be mafresh that as truma. No? These chitin are tamei. You know what? I'll use this for the hafrasha. So guess what? If you're torim min hatamei ala tahor, the isr tevel is paka. There was a hafrasha, but mefurish and tosus rid, you're going to fulfill the mitzvah nesina. You're going to give this truma tamei to the kohen, which is tu nesreifa. That's called titein lo. If you are yedei truma tamei, wow, you're not going to fulfill the mitzvahs nesina, even though you're going to accommodate the chovas hafrasha. That's a stunning chiddush, no? But mefurish in Tosfos read that there's a difference between the shir hafrasha as opposed to the shir nesina. That I will tell you, I think, is very, very relevant to our question. What is the relationship between hafrasha and nesina? Imagine I would argue there's just a mitzvahs nesina. And the purpose of hafrasha is just a hechsher nesina. Would it make sense to argue that that's true? That the shir nesina is pachas v'shar bruta? As true when it comes to shir hafrasha? And with pachas v'shar bruta, you cannot fulfill the mitzvahs nesina? Let's assume, for example, it's just a mitzvah hafrasha. And memeila, once it's truma, now you have to give it to the kohen. Not as a mitzvah, but yeah, so nesina has a shir of a nesina chashuva. And hafrasha does not. Pashur shat that teretz of the Tosfos is assuming that, you know what, there are two mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah hafrasha, there's a mitzvah nesina, driven by different factors. One is to uproot this Rav Tevel, the other is the mitzvah nesina l'kohen. And why is it so difficult to assume that there's a different shir of hafrasha and nesina? And literally, chita achas poteres asakri, even though you will not fulfill the mitzvah nesina. Wow. But according, let's say, to the Rambam, that one mitzvah, more difficult to assume indeed that is true. Especially if one assumes that the whole purpose of the hafrasha is just a hechsher nesina. So imagine, your mafrish is something that you cannot fulfill the mitzvah nesina, that really is considered to be a hechsher nesina. But maybe that's the shita of the Rambam. A single mitzvah nesina, and the hafrasha is considered to be a hechsher nesina. Oh, you know what? One could argue now as follows. When the Rambam describes Bikurim Chesbeis, that, you know, there are different ways you can be mafresh. You can be mafresh this way, you can be mafresh that way, you can be mafresh before Lisha, you can be mafresh after Lisha, and the Ravid raises the kasha. You can, but you shouldn't. There obviously is a preference to be mafresh later, once this Yer Tevel indeed is chal. Okay? And the Rambam doesn't have any preference at all. Why exactly is that true? That the Rambam doesn't have a preference, that the Rambam writes, you know, you can be mafresh before Lisha, you can be mafresh la'achar Lisha. Oh, maybe that depends on this discussion. If you assume that there's a mitzvah safrasha, I think very good. So when is the mitzvah safrasha? When is the ideal mitzvah safrasha? Even if, yes, it's true that one could be mafresh here, could be mafresh there, but ask you the following. When is the ideal form of fulfilling the mitzvah safrasha, given the fact that there are different models? But if one is going to argue, who says that there's a mitzvah safrasha at all? Do you have to be mafresh? Well, of course. No, there's a mitzvah nesina, and the afrosh is considered to be hechsher nesina. If that really is the shita sarambam, as a single mitzvah, and a single mitzvah means a mitzvah nesina, and the hafrasha is simply a hechsher nesina. So I ask you the following. When it comes to such a hechsher mitzvah, does it really matter whether the challah is produced, right, at this point, or the mitzvah is a mitzvah nesina? And the purpose of afrasha is just a hechsher nesina. I would tell you, maybe that's exactly then l'shitas, eh? That the Rambam writes, you know what? It's discretionary. Whether you're mafresh here, whether you're mafresh there, we're not dealing with a mitzvah safrasha, where obviously there is a zman to the chovas hamitzvah, but rather simply as a hechsher, as a hechsher mitzvah. And maybe that's considered to be significant in and of itself. So that's an important deal. And here I'll tell you another possibility in the Rambam Shita. This Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, but it's something which is stunning, that when you look in the Rambam, the Pirush Mishnayos and Trumas, Ches Gimel, the Rambam makes a comment that seems to turn everything on its head. You have to take a look at that Rambam. Slavetchik highlighted that Rambam, the Mikdash David, right, points you in the direction of this Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos. You know, we usually assume the following. You know what? You have Tfuah, which is growing. I go ahead and I cut it. Okay, now it's Tolush. And I process it, Meruach. And there's Rias Pnei Habayis. When I do all those things, finally, it becomes Tevel. Finally, it becomes Tevel. And guess what? Tevel is Asr B'Achila. Tevel is also b'achila. Imagine a person does mirach and rias b'nei habayis, and he starts partaking of it. You're going to say, whoa, this is tevel daraisa. You certainly cannot do so. Okay. A person is in the field, and he goes ahead and he begins harvesting. And while he's in the field, he goes ahead and snacks, right, on the tevel. You're going to scream at him and say that, what are you doing? You're not allowed to eat tevel. You know what he's going to tell you? Tevel. Tevel requires miruach and riyas b'nei habayis. You know, so this is not tevel. Tevel is not chal yet. Tevel is not chal yet. You know, the person said, but I read someplace you're not supposed to eat it, you know? Oh, no, no. You're not allowed to have achilas keva. Achilas keva. Even though it didn't yet become tevel. But achilas arai basadeh is mutter. It's not yet tevel. Samid Rabban and the Chamim forbid achilas keva, even though it is not yet tevel. Once it becomes tevel, what do you mean that all the machalos asuras is asur? No, you can eat a little bit of nevela, a little bit of basar b'chalav. Once it's tevel, there's no difference between achilas keva as opposed to achilas arai. Why in the field are you allowed to go ahead and to snack? Yeah, because it's not yet tevel. It's not nesar. Midarais, you could even have achilas keva. But you know what? Midrabanan, that's not true. The Chamin forbid achilas keva and allow achilas arai, which is basada. Okay, good. That I know. When you take a look at the Rambam, there in Pirush Mishnah is Ches Gimel. The Rambam describes it so differently. So differently. The Rambam writes the following, that tevel is osur, ba'achila. Okay. And also achila means like, you know what? Okay. Forms of achila, good. And you know why you're allowed to go ahead and eat this tevel basadeh? You know what I would say? Because it's not tevel. That's why. No, the Rambam does not write that. The Rambam writes because you're eating it in the field. You're eating it in the field. You're not eating like a mensch. You're not sitting down and eating after miruach rias b'nei habayis. You're just grabbing, you're just snacking. The Rambam writes, because the reason that mi'ikar hadin that's mutter is because that's only considered to be achilas arai. That's only considered to be achilas arai. The reason you're allowed to partake of the tfuah basada is because that is achilas arai. Because if it's not yet processed, and you don't have rias p'nei habayis, that's not called achilas keva, that's called achilas arai. That sounds so difficult, that Rambam, no? The reason you're allowed to eat basada is because it's not yet usar, it's not tevel. The Rambam says the reason you're allowed to partake basada of this tevel is because tevel is only asura, mikar hadin, ba'achilas keva, and not achilas arai. That sounds so unusual. That sounds so unusual. You know what the beer of that Rambam seems to be? Something which is revolutionary. You know what? I'll tell you the following. A farmer goes ahead and he begins his harvest. And now, no longer mechubar, now it's talush. You know what I'm going to tell you? According to the Rambam Shita, it's true. You didn't have meruach. You didn't have riyas p'nei habayis. You know what I'm going to tell you? It's tevel. It's tevel. It's already tevel. It's already tevel. It's tevel. Why in the world I'm allowed to eat it? Tevel is osur b'achila. Midaraisa, I'm allowed to eat even achilas keva basada. If really it's tevel, and tevel is osur, how in the world can you eat it in any shape or form? You know what the Rambam assumed? Such a chiddush. That no. That's the dindaraisa of tevel. Tevel is only osur b'achilas keva, not b'achilas arai. Midaraisa. Where do you draw the line? What is considered to be achilas keva? And what is considered to be achilas arai? Oh, you know what the Rambam writes, the din daraisa is? If something is processed, meruach, and it's riyas p'nei habayis, that's called achilas keva. If you go ahead and you start eating from it without meruach and without riyas p'nei habayis, that is called achilas arai. And tevel mi'ikar ha-din daraisa is only asur ba'achilas keva, and not achilas arai. That's the Rambam. Pirush Mishnayis. That sounds so stunning. This sir tevel is chal miyad. This sir tevel is chal miyad. But tevel is only Osir b'achilas keva. How do I define achilas keva? So I'm going to tell you the following. Midaraisa, miroch, and riyas b'nei habayis. What about midrabanan? Oh, so I'm going to tell you midrabanan, the chachamim just added a small addition. A small addition. Midaraisa tevel is forbidden achilas keva. Achilas keva means after its process. The chachamim added just a small addition. That if you eat a lot in the field, even before processing, but you really eat a lot, midraban, we're going to call that achilas keva. You know, otherwise, can't you raise the following question? Where did the chachamim get this idea from that there's a difference in achilas keva and achilas arai? It's unheard of, no? Nevela, trefa, shkasim, ramasim, basa b'chalav. Eat a little, but don't eat a lot. Where do you have such a hagdara? That the chachamim said that, you know what, that this tvua, don't eat a lot, but only, you know what the answer is? Where did they get it from? That's the din daraisa. The din daraisa is tevel is chalmiyad, but it's aser b'achilas keva. Midaraisa achilas keva means only la'achar miruach, and riyas p'nei habayis. Eat it like a mensch. No, you process it. You're in your house. You sit and you eat. The chachamim just made one small adjustment that if you eat a lot of this, even on the fly, basadeh, a lot, we're going to label that as achilas keva. That's something which is stunning. You know what you see then? According to the Rambam Sheet, if this is the case, that the Isser Tevel is Chal Miyad. Wow, the Isser Tevel is Chal Miyad. So now let's go back. That Rambam in Chesbeis doesn't show any preference to Hafrasha before Lisha, after Lisha. The Ravid writes, of course there's a preference. If you're Mafrish before Lisha, you're being Monea the Isser Tevel. If you're mafish afterwards, you mafgi the Isser Tevel, and that's the mitzvah. According to the not true. Not true whatsoever. The Isser Tevel really is Chal Miyad. Not surprising that the Rambam writes, you know what? You can be mafrish now, you can be mafrish later. If you're mafrish now, you're being mafrish without an Isser of Tevel. Not true. Not true. Wow, wow. And that's the Rambam Lashitaseh. Mechaz Beis. And I'll tell you the further Lashitaseh. The Ravid Shita here in our sugya. Where the Ravid writes that, you know what, don't be so surprised that you can have Trumas Peros, which is Truma Daraisa, even though it's not Tevel Daraisa. Because why in the world should you insist that Hafrasha has to be dependent on an Isser of Tevel? That's absolutely not true. Vaharaya, Kodem Iroach, or Kodem Lisha, you can be Mafrish and there is no Isser of Tevel. So no doubt the Ravid pushes the envelope. No, just like it's true there, it's true when it comes to payros. Yeah, but you know what? You can argue according to the Rambam Shita. Not true. Not true. Not true. No? You don't have afresh with an Isser of Tevel. What do you mean? You can be mafresh before Lisha. No, it is Tevel before Lisha. That's just halach in the Dine Achila. What is called Achilas Kevin? What is called Achilas Arai? Maybe that indeed is Meshitase as well. Well. You know, the Sugya Nedarim on Daf Yud Gimel mentions the following. When a person makes a neder, whoa. You can do a hatfasa. You can say this is aser like this. But when you say this is aser like this, this has to be a davar anodar. It can't be a davar aser. You know? A person's makdish something, you can say this is aser like hektish. A person makes a neder, I can say this is aser like that. You can't be makdish on a davar aser. You cannot go ahead and say that, you know what? This is aser like chazer's aser. This is also like Nevela's also. What do you mean? Hatfas has to be Ashiyidur Bedavar Hanadur, as opposed to a Davar Asr. And you know what? That's Sugyan. Ram Daf Yudgim is an example. You can't be Matfis off of an Isser of Truma. An Isser of Truma. If you have Truma, you cannot say that this is Asr like that. You can't be Mafish off of a Truma, Tevel. Why exactly is that true? You know what the Rambam writes? The Rambam writes because Truma, that's not a Davar Hanadur. That's not a Davar Hanadur. That obviously is Davar Asr. After all, the status of Truma is not Babid Neder Unadava. You can't go ahead and create an Isser of Truma without this Isser Torah, without this Isser Torah of Tevel. And the Ravid is Masig. No? Yeah, that fits in very well. No? The Ravid has a Hafrash Shum without any Isser Tevel. The Ravid in Kosov Shom. And therefore, the Ravid does not argue that the reason Truma is not the Davar Nadar is because it's Eino Ba B'Nedav B'Nedava. Who? But the Rambam Shita fits in very nicely, that that's not the case at all, that it is always Hoba Atalia, especially that Rambam in Pirush Mishnah is. And therefore, the Rambam categorically disagrees with these Chidushim of the Raiva, but it's an amazing model of the Raiva Shita. Truma Daraisa without an Isser, without an Isser of Tevo, not just simply in terms of sequence, Abiruach, Rias Bani Habayis, Lisha, but even in terms of the Min. And that's the Raiva's beautiful, beautiful Yishuv. On the one hand, the Torah tells us, Dagon Tirosh V'Yitzar. On the other hand, the Gemara has drushas that sound like drushas daraisa when it comes to peros, enochinami. The truma, it's chalos, that's a din daraisa, even though there is no iser tevo midaraisa. When it comes to cases of peros, that's limited to Dagon Tirosh V'Yitzar. It's a pretty fascinating machlokas rishonim. Rashi and Tosus in our sugya. Ooh, the Rambam and Perek Aleph Hilchos Maaseros, and the Raivid in Kosav Sham, that one could separate the Isser Tevo from the Din Daraisa of Hafrashos Trumas and Maaseros.